You are now listening to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for Startups to Celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Stay up to date at nextonscene.com or follow us on social media at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene. Welcome back to Next on Scene, everybody. What an exciting day today is. We are turning the tables and you are going to hear my story. I am so excited to share my story with you. I'm also nervous and being vulnerable because I feel like for the past 4 years, as this is my 4-year anniversary with my podcast, that I've constantly been showcasing others. And whether I come on to talk about different topics that interest me or motivational spiels, I feel like I haven't shared my full story to where I am now. So I'm so excited to have Henry Roth back on the line today, who totally thought of this amazing idea in honor of my 4-year anniversary to share my story. And what an honor it is to have become such good friends with him and work side by side and have the honor of him to interview me. So I'm so excited to have him on shortly, and stay tuned for Henry. And who's next? It's your host, me, Jackie Zuck. So, who's your host? I meant who's your guest. So that's very exciting. Yeah. So stay tuned. I'm going to bring Henry on from Australia and we're going to share my story. Stay tuned.
Hello, I am Henry Roth, and you are Next on Scene, a podcast that's heard by over more than up to 500,000 audience around the world. Now, today we've actually switched up the mics, for our host, Jackie, is actually going to be our special guest. And I've done a little blurb, so I won't be much more structured after this, but I wanted to provide Jackie Zuckerman with the kind of introduction that I felt she deserved as a run-up and lead into a little bit of a conversation about what makes her tick. So my little intro is as follows. She's blessed naturally with high-octane fuel. She's effervescent, charismatic, passionate, and pragmatic. CEO of her own bustling social enterprise startup, Jackie Zuckerman is also all sleeves rolled up. 24/7 media mogul powerhouse that is taking the world of small business by storm. Jackie Zuckerman is all about taking the lessons she has learned in developing her own small business and applying it to her clients and their small business and making them flourish. She has a backlog of professional credentials that places her in the unique position of experiencing every possible level of media interface that there is, from front of camera to strategy, to production, and corporate negotiation. From MTV, Bloomingdale's, Hot 97, My Matchmaker, Jerseylicious, actor on the web series, You're Wearing That, assisting high-powered New York event management companies, and so much more. Today, Jackie Zuckerman is CEO and president of her own highly pumped can-do company, Jay-Z Social Enterprises. She has created Next on Scene magazine, Next on Spin special events and small business consulting, and of course, here we are, her sensational podcast platform as editor and host of Next on Scene. As Jackie celebrates her 4th anniversary, I've come on board here today after asking Jackie this one very special time to switch out the mics. As Jackie interviewed me in December, we happened to be the designers of Jackie's wedding gown. She said yes to a Henry Roth. I started to realize that I was becoming fascinated by the person that was interviewing me. I wanted to know, like so many, how do you take a small business literally from bedroom closet to 500,000 audience and network worldwide? What does it take? What is the secret to her success? What does she attribute her progress? What can we learn? Drum roll. Welcome to your own podcast.
Thank you, Henry. Oh my God, that was such a beautiful introduction. Like, nobody could have done that better. So thank you. You are awesome.
Well, so are you.
Oh my God, I'm so honored that you even thought to do this. And I really feel like for having this show for so long, I feel like so much has happened since I've started. So thank you so much for celebrating this very exciting moment with me.
Well, absolutely. You know, your fourth anniversary, you're really kicking the goals. But I wonder, Jackie, if you could take us through a little bit of what the syrup has been, what the recipe has been that's created you to become such an effervescent, successful person in the media, really starting from scratch when you moved with your now husband from Manhattan to Boston.
Yeah, really good question. So I'm originally from Scarsdale, New York. I grew up in Westchester County, which is north of the city, about a half hour. And I always had a love for event planning and media. I never knew what media I enjoyed. I just loved, like, you know, the scene of what's trending. That I always really enjoyed that. And I know you can attest to that, being a designer and being a TV personality yourself. So I basically, from the beginning, I mean, I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. My mom's an author, a published author. She also did some life coaching. My dad has his own real estate business. He's also a lawyer. And my brother owns an event company. So growing up, I was very surrounded by, you know, the mindset of running your own business, planning your own hours. And I was always like, this is what I want to do. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but eventually it was something that I wanted to do. So, you know, growing up, I started to, this is actually a really funny story. When I was 13 years old, in the Jewish tradition, you get bar and bat mitzvahed. So my brother, you know, owning a DJ company and his own event company, approached me, you know, because we were really close. And he's like, you know what, Jackie, you're at that age now where you can just recruit all of your friends to hire me for their big parties that they need. So he gave me all of his business cards. I was 13 years old. I remember this so vividly. And I was going down the high school hallways and I was passing out his business cards on his behalf. And I was like, you need a DJ for your next event. You need a DJ for your next. And he got paid gigs. I was like, this is my moment. Like, this was my moment. So it was cool. And he even like paid me for it, which was awesome.
And how successful were you? Do you recall how many bat mitzvahs or bar mitzvahs you got on board?
I don't even remember, to be honest with you. It was so long ago, but I know I for sure got at least like two or three, and I was like, this is incredible, you know?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So that's how my journey really started. And then throughout high school and beginning of college, I worked for Bloomingdale's. I worked in the PR department with them, which was really cool. So I worked with a lot of fashion designers, things like that. And I also did a ton of event planning with my brother and sister-in-law. So I learned the ropes of working with corporate businesses, how to plan events, and that kind of stuff. So I really enjoy that a lot. I just came to a point where I didn't want to work for family anymore. Don't mind that. My dog is like my biggest fan in the back. She's always in the bedroom with me when I'm recording. So if you hear dog noises, this is legitimately what goes down. So, yeah, but this is me just like being transparent, right? So, anyway,
that's
so
what we want.
Exactly. It makes it so much better. So, yes. So like I said, I didn't want to work for family anymore. And so I was also living with my brother at the time. And I started to explore new outlets. And I fell into a talent agency. And I started to promote babies through 80-year-olds. And I found this job through Craigslist to place them on TV, Broadway, movies. And it was like one of the coolest jobs I ever had. So
what company was that, Jackie?
It was called Interface.
Yes.
So I was there for, I mean, the company closed right before I actually moved to Boston, and, it was really cool. I mean, literally they have rosters of thousands of people and, you know, casting directors call you and tell you what they're looking for. And then I would basically fit the roles. I would fill them. So it was really, really cool. And I think one of the most rewarding ones I ever did was, if for all the audience who ever heard of Kinky Boots, it's a very big Broadway show in New York. I placed one of the lead kid roles in that show right before the company closed. So that was really cool. And then I met my now husband and, I moved here.
Well, just on the interface, I actually, was doing a little bit of background research, as you would expect an intrepid guest host to do. And I just got a little article here, and I just want to read the headline of it. So this is from their own in-house Interface magazine, and it goes, "Meet Interface Promotions Assistant Jackie Zuckerman. This story wasn't supposed to be about an employee. I had actually planned on highlighting a client that had done some really great work recently. But when I reached out to his mother, she gave all the credit to one person, and one person alone, Jackie Zuckerman. It was then that I realized there was only one story to tell, hers. How cool is that?
Oh my God, I got chills because I totally forgot about that article. That's so awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
It just says a lot about you. I think that, you know, in my experience so far with you, Jackie, as effervescent and bubbly as you are, you've got a very interesting trait, and that is you let other people shine ahead of you. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting thing. Where does that come from?
It's so funny. You know, I have no idea. I literally, like, if you ask everybody that knows my family and myself, like, not my husband's family, but my family I grew up with, we are all completely different. Like, I don't know where I came from. So I really don't know. That's a great question.
But it is definitely one of the things, like, I've noticed with how we've worked together, you've just given me no string on a collar at all. And I just thought to myself, that's so interesting. You obviously have ways that you want to do things and very defined, you know, you're a very organized, very, you know, exacting person. And yet you don't stop a person doing whatever they think is right for the project. It's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. I mean, a prime example, I was actually just interviewing a photographer for an upcoming shoot I'm doing yesterday. And I was talking about a girl that I do a lot of work with, and she's actually one of my really close friends. And I was doing a fashion show last year, and right before the show was starting, my original, like, red carpet host canceled. She was sick, and I was like, oh my God, you know, these things happen all the time. Like, I was like, I'll figure it out. So I literally asked my friend who, like, you know, has been doing hair for a really long time, and she's very outgoing, but she never thought, like, this would happen, and she rocked it. Like, she just owned it. She, like, totally took over, and she owned it. She did a great job, and now she's going to do it again this year for my show. So it's so funny how things happen for a reason. And when I find it, I put it in place and it seems like it aligns. So
I think it's because you have the confidence in knowing your judgment. And once you've gone with your judgment and you think to yourself, okay, this is where I'm going, or this is what I believe in that person or this business or my magazine or podcast, you don't have any barriers around it. And that's why I think, from my perspective, from what I can see, you're flourishing, because you don't give people... You know, what you do is you focus on a person's capacity.
True. Very, very true.
But, you know, going back a little bit onto your, you know, your profile on LinkedIn, I have to tell you, I thought I had a good a profile running up, right? You are amazing.
Thank you.
Some of the things you have done here that I've got here in front of me, you know, from MTV and Bloomingdale's, and you're an actor and on reality TV shows, and you're not really saying as much about the amazing amounts, maybe what, 15, 20 experiences between when you started after college till 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why so many, and what did that bring to you? Did that not confuse you? Why did you have so many different companies you were working with?
I think I was trying to find myself, to be honest with you. I think, you know, like, when you're right out of college, it's like you're really trying to figure out. Well, first of all, when I went to college, I originally went for fashion merchandising. And you have to learn, like, you have to learn chemistry, because you have to learn how the chemicals are made in fabrics. And, like, you understand the logistics probably of all of that. Oh, my God.
I was like,
this is red flag city for me, because I don't know anything about chemistry. And I really struggled. So I ended up transferring. So I think that, to bring back, like, what your question was, is I think I already was trying to figure out my life when I had to transfer and completely change majors. So I think from that get-go, from the beginning, I was really starting from the bottom up, because I relocated back to New York and I worked as a commuter and I majored in public relations. So I think at that point I was trying to figure out, because I loved the acting stuff. I loved, you know, like, being in spotlight and helping doing talent work, like putting talent on spotlight. But I couldn't figure out. I was also trying to make money, if we're being honest here. Like, they were all paying whatever they could. So I just took whatever came available to me and I ran with it.
Well, that's why I wrote right in the beginning of your introduction, one of my four words was pragmatic. That's what I can see. You're very, very functional and very real. in a world that's not very functional and not very real. You know, so all that promotion stuff, it can be very pie in the sky. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you this? So along the way, you were working out what you were about, making money along the way. Did you ever have an end goal in sight, or did you feel that it was going to come to you?
I think at the time, you know, that's a really good question you ask. I think at the time I had no, like, if you asked me if I was ever going to create a magazine, never once did I ever think that that was going to happen. Like, that was never in my vision. I always thought I was definitely going to, I loved fashion. I knew I always wanted to do something with fashion. But in terms of my long-term vision, I would never think I where I am now that I would be. I knew one day I would own my own business, but I didn't know the capacity. So I think I'm very proud of my journey. Like, I can own that now and say that, like, I'm very proud where I am now. So,
100%. I think it's interesting because I think it flies in the face of the old traditional school that, you know, you need, you know, I think that pressure on, especially, say, for example, my niece and nephew who live in New York City, they're like 9 and 10, and they're expected to know exactly what they're supposed to be almost already. And I think that what you do is set an example of just give everything a try, give it a go.
Exactly.
Don't be ashamed, you know, don't be afraid of it. And by doing so, be proud of the fact, you know, that you have such a broad level of experience because you're bringing it all to the picture now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. It is so true. And I always tell people, like, the more you risk take in your life, the more success you will have. Because I feel like when you stay very monotone, very same thing every day, you get drained. Like, you get the life sucked out of you. Like, who wants to live unhappy like that?
Absolutely right. So let me ask you, so of all the different experiences, and I'm still reading them, they're just fantastic, and I'm reading all the little notes and lessons, all that sort of stuff, but what would you say are like one of your top, say, your top three highlights that you've had as an experience bringing you to Next On Scene and that you use like daily or whatever your program is with your different Next of Scene divisions?
Really good question. So I think, first of all, working for my brother and sister-in-law gave me a ton of event experience and has allowed me to create my own events in Boston. Mm-hmm. I mean, my events have really grown since I moved here. So that's one thing that I think from a general level really taught me a lot. And I remember like vividly like learning how they set up invoices and like learning how like, cause I did all of that stuff with them. So like even from the administrative side, it's like that really taught me a lot of how to lay out things for my own business.
That's huge. That's the structure of that and the discipline of it. And obviously with family, how did you find that? Was it strict? How did you find that experience?
It was very, it's so funny. My brother and sister-in-law are very opposite. My brother is very like structured and my sister-in-law is the more, like, I think they're both creative, but my sister-in-law does more the decor stuff. Like she's a little more laid back when it comes to that. So I actually feel like I got the balance between the two of them.
I see.
So
I see.
It was good. It was a good balance for sure. So I would say that's the first thing. I would think the second thing is the whole agency side when I worked at Interface, like just learning the different walks of life that are so talented. That really was very impressive to me. I mean, I even remember working with 70 and 80 year olds that I placed as extras in movies and they were like some of the nicest people. So that was really cool. Like to know that there's talent at every age, like it's never too late to continue to pursue your dreams, you know?
Very inspiring, not only that you have, you know, contributed towards people's careers, to their business, to their livelihoods, but I suppose it nurtured you along the way.
Totally did. And that was definitely like a rewarding experience. And then of course with the Kinky Boots thing, like that totally touched my heart, you know?
Yes.
So that was really cool. And I would say the last thing before I really started my business was I worked on Top Chef. I literally was leaving from New York to move here and I got the job the day I was in the car driving. It was crazy. It was all like, it happened so fast. And I think that the best lesson I learned from that experience is I was made promises by my boss at the time, who was the head stylist, and he totally disregarded things that he said he was going to do. And I never wanted to be that person. I almost feel like that was a lesson learned to me, that I'd never want to like feel that I break promises with people and I keep them not accountable for, you know, like different stuff. I think that that just taught me a lot.
So you've got three really major concrete pillars, mm-hmm. the events, the agency, Top Chef. It's quite a recipe and quite a blend mixed in to create what you are today, mm-hmm. I would say.
I totally agree. I like one thing that when I reflect back on where I've gotten to at this point, it's like every bump in the road is something that has made me stronger and more tolerable to now when it comes present. Like if it comes to me in the forefront.
And I think, to be very honest with you, there's nothing that anybody can run circles around you. With your business, you know the upside, the downside, the around, the up, you know, the front of camera, the back of camera. I think you have the advantage of knowing exactly every aspect of your business, which is really unusual.
Yeah, that's very insane. Yeah, thank you. You hit it on the head right there. That is so true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, no one can pull the wool over your eyes, as they say in Australia and probably in America as well.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So here today, Next on Scene, fourth anniversary, special edition podcast, interviewing the host, Jackie Zuckerman, for those who are joining us right now. I just want to ask you, what would you say your core business is today?
I think you hit it on the head when you were talking in the beginning. It's like I like seeing people shine. Like if there's something that I could bring the best out of that one individual person with being with them in that moment of even a conversation, I will pull it out of them.
So let me understand one thing from you. You, 4 years ago, was it 4 years ago that you moved from Manhattan to Boston?
Yeah, it was about 4.5 years ago. Yeah, May will be so 5 years.
Slow that down for me, because obviously, explain to me a little bit about what your life was like and what you left in Manhattan and what you came to when you arrived in Boston.
Good, really good questions, because that was a very, very hard journey. So I was living with my brother at the time before I moved to Boston. So I lived in Westchester in Irvington. And I remember at the time, because Interface had closed, I was in between jobs. So I wasn't working. And then I mean, all my family was in New York. So outside of Drew's family, my husband, who people don't know, if you don't know who that is, you know, it was very hard. I knew it was going to be a journey that I had to do for myself in order to better my relationship, in order to start over, because I needed a job, that it was going to be the best decision at the time. So I decided to take the leap. And like I said, when I was first coming, I got a job in the car on my way here, which was really cool. And it literally happened all so fast. Like I literally started the next day. So I really didn't have time to unpack. I didn't have an apartment yet. We were living with my in-laws, who are amazing. Absolutely love them. They're so, so great. And I lived in my husband's, you know, kid bedroom. We were like sharing a bedroom at the time. So it was like, I didn't really have time to adjust at all. It all just happened so fast. And I didn't have any friends, you know. I had one friend that lived like 30 minutes north of where I was. So I never saw her, and plus she was a teacher, so we were just on totally different schedules. So it was very, very hard. Like I had to start from the bottom up. And when you work in television, I mean, you know, your hours are insane. Like I was working like 7 a.m. to, you know, 1, 2 in the morning sometimes. And the gigs.
It's like being jet lagged.
It is.
Yeah, you don't know where you are.
Yeah, it is so, so true. So the days are really long, and the gigs, because you only shoot television for a certain period of time, you know, they end, and then they all go back their own ways.
So let me understand one thing. So you moved lock, stock, and barrel from Manhattan to where you were very established, well-known, excellent roots, family, the whole deal, to Boston, where obviously you had received a job offer in the car on the way to Boston. You set up home with in your now husband's apartment, two-bedroom apartment, did crazy hours. But how long did that last?
We were in my husband's house that he grew up in. So it was like, we were sharing a bedroom. So imagine, Henry, like relocating from like your own like apartment and space into a bedroom, even though my in-laws were amazing. It was just like, it was very intimidating. It was like, it was definitely weird in the beginning. And it wasn't because of them. It was just because I was uplifting everything and had to like live in a bedroom type of thing.
I've got it. You lived into the in-laws, got it.
Yes, into the one yes, because got they it. Were they were renovating. We were gutting the apartment we're in now.
Wow.
So that took
How generous of them, though.
Oh, my God. They are amazing. They were so welcoming from the beginning. So I knew from the get-go that, like, I couldn't wait for them to one day be my in-laws, you know?
Yes.
So,
also, at testing time, not just career-wise, but let's get real. If the relationship, it had to have poured out of concrete steel. You're in one bedroom in your future husband's apartment. For him, for you, for both of you, obviously it strengthened your relationship.
That is very, very true. And they were so supportive because, I mean, think about it. I mean, I went out with my mother-in-law. Yeah. We went to dinner. She took me to dinner all the time with her and her sister. It was the nicest thing ever because I had crazy hours. I didn't have friends. You know, like, it was like they really were like my outlets. Yeah, it was really nice.
Wow. So what point did Top Shed? I now understand more because you have to understand it's hard to actually work out all your bits and pieces because you're such a dynamo. I'm now plotting it down so I understand. I'm getting it now, Jackie. I'm getting it.
Yeah.
So let me understand this. And that's a really poignant point. So you were doing Top Chef, but how long were you doing that?
So it was 6 weeks.
Yep.
So imagine, like, that's a short period of time. And then they all went back to New York, Los Angeles. And then I was out of a job again. So I was trying to explore. And I knew deep down I did not want to go back to the corporate world. Like, I knew. Yeah. But my husband was like, we need to make money. Like, we need to start building our living because we're going to be moving out of my in-laws, like my parents' house. So that was very intimidating.
More stress, yeah.
Totally. Because, you know, I mean, selfishly, like, you totally get this because you've been in this world. When you work in TV, like, I was making great money because I was working crazy hours. And then I almost got spoiled because the money was, like, it was there while it was there. And then it was gone when it was done, you know?
Obviously, Andrew sounds very practical. It's like, you know, seeing past all of that and trying to plan for the future already.
Exactly.
What has to be done.
Yeah. I think that's why we balance. Cause I'm like, yes, let's, you know, I'm like the free spirit. Let's go do this. And he's like, no, like there are things we need to do first.
Amazing man, obviously.
Yeah. So he was really supportive. And I eventually told him cause I had been doing a lot of corporate interviews and they weren't going well. They didn't feel good. And I wasn't getting them. And I think that was a sign, honestly, intuitively, cause I knew I didn't want it. So I started networking and I ended up at a startup radio station I found north of Boston. And at the time they weren't paying, but I was like, okay, this will be like a little internship for me that I'll get some media experience and I'll feel it out and see what happens. So I went to the station and they kind of threw me into the fire, gave me my own show, but they had their own producers. Like I was just basically hosting. So it was very easy at the time. And then I was there for like 2 months and I was like, okay, I really need money now. I need income. Like, I can't keep doing this for free. Like, I need to figure my shit out. So, and 2 months is a long time. Let's be realistic here. Like, my money was fading from my other job. So I decided to go to my drawing board, thank you to the internet, and I watched a ton of YouTube videos, and I was like, I'm going to learn how to produce my own podcast, and I'm going to make it profitable. So
So that's the beginning. The core of Next on Scene was from the bedroom, I need to do a podcast.
Exactly. And you know what's so funny, Henry? I don't even know if you know this. So before Next on Scene was Next on Scene, it was called The Social Scene. And then I transferred names for a while and it ended up becoming Next on Scene because in October of 2017, I was totally threatened that somebody was going to take my company name out, throw me out of business. And this is like legitimate things that happen. And I was like, I need to protect myself. I am so new. I was doing nothing that I didn't know about. Like, thank God I have lawyers I'm related to. So yeah, they basically helped me trademark. So that is how Next on Scene came about.
Understood. Yeah. With the R.
Yeah.
I better remember.
Exactly. So that belongs to me now. So if anybody comes after me, I own it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. As I say, you are acquainted with every side of your business.
Yeah.
Through all your experience and the experience that you've been served up. So the podcast, you taught yourself from the bedroom. You thought that's the beginning of wanting to do something on your own that was making money.
Right. Exactly. And I figured out a way because I was so active on social media. Like that was like always a huge outlet for me that I felt, especially because when you're relocating to a new state, not knowing people and being by yourself, it's how you meet people. You know, yes. You know, so.
I agree.
Yeah. So I really.
Well, actually there's ways of doing it. And the reason why we're even in contact is because you made contact with us, I think, via Instagram.
It is so true.
With your magazine. And Jackie, there was something about the way you communicated that made me think to myself, I must follow this up. This seems like a person that's got a lot of initiative. That was my thought. So yes, social media, but you have to know how to use it. And obviously, you know how to use it.
Thank you. I'm so glad because now we're great friends and I'm so honored you're interviewing me and I was able to showcase you guys. No, it's so true.
I'm sitting in Sydney, you're sitting in Boston, but it was because of the initiative and because it was also very unneedy. It was just very, there was something joyful about your communication. People pick up, you pick it up.
Right.
So so the podcast thing started how long ago?
4 years ago in January.
Wow.
4 years ago. Yeah. Actually, I honestly think I launched the 15th of January. So we're like 2 days off.
So your income stream, some of it comes from the podcast, correct?
So let's,
your product.
Yeah, I just want to tell you a little bit about the podcast. So like I said earlier, because I had such a good social media presence and I felt like, just like you said, people find me very relatable. I was able to promote people in a way that they felt they could relate and have interest in learning more about what I was talking about. So that's how I started to become a businesswoman, because I was like, okay, so a lot of people are engaging in my content. I'm getting feedback on the interviews. I was like, I can make this profitable. And what I learned from my previous radio station is it took them months to edit one show. And I was like, if I'm doing this myself, I can make it live within the same day. Like I could just figure it out. And I did.
There you go. From experience of the past, you improved it a millionfold.
Exactly. So that's how the podcast came about. So I created this marketing package where you showcase your story. We talk about how you got to where you are. And I do social media promotion. I do blog coverage on my website. And then for SEO purposes, you know, like as long as you're everywhere on the internet, the more you get seen.
Absolutely.
So that's how it became a marketing package. And it's all live within a day, maximum 2 days.
Jackie, how many, I had to laugh when you told me, because when I said to you, oh, so how do you download it? Just like thinking as an Australian, you're like one option, iTunes. You go, iTunes only? Are you kidding me? So can you list off some of the platforms that carry Next on Scene?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, I could name a few, but they're on streams that like access to so many other ones that I don't even know, to be honest with you.
I just thought it was so impressive. So approximately how many sort of streams do you think carry you?
Oh my God. That's a great question.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah. I would say like my main ones, of course, is iTunes. I also have a big stream for Android phones is called Stitcher. I also am on like TuneIn Radio, which is a big one too. I don't know. They have so many of them. Pocket Caster, Blurbery, like things I've never heard of. And I'm like, where do these even come from?
It's impressive. I didn't even know that world of that many options existed. And I, you know, when you had previously spoken about it, I thought you've got to be on hundreds. You have to be. It's like streams and more streams and, you know, up to almost 500,000 people as your audience. Which you told me you calculate by going to every single different platform and adding it up. And I can imagine you sitting there with a pen and paper.
I used to, Henry, but now I kind of gauge a little bit. You know what I mean?
But for sure, because the thing is that you do. You get a feeling. You monitor. You know what your feedback is. So from the podcast of the success and monetizing that, where did you expand next?
So my podcast, obviously, because people were paying me for the service.
So how does somebody that wants their particular, so is it they want themselves showcased or Next on Scene or their product, they just approach you via, how do they approach you?
Social media. That's how I started. That's why social media has been so valuable to me. And I was gauging. It was totally organic. And what's so funny is, like, I look back at, like, so many different podcasts that exist. And I really started when podcasts really first started coming out, you know? So, like, I feel like I've learned so much in the process. And people weren't charging. And I was like, well, I got to figure out a way to make money. out a way to make money. And I was just like,
bottom line, you're delivering an audience.
Exactly. Yep. So that's basically how it started. And then now, like, what led me to my next venture was my clients and customers that were coming on my show were getting clients, were making sales, were getting great exposure that they were like, we want to do more with you. What else are you offering? And that's how I started to really start blossoming. So I started to offer social media management. I started to offer public relations where I would promote their events, where I would promote their services to my audience, through different outlets, through media, through TV, through publications, stuff like that. And that's really how my main stream of income really started to flow.
And so then from that, when did the magazine kick in?
So the magazine is really a really interesting story. So I did not, when I moved to Boston, I did not have contacts to any of the main media outlets here at all. And I felt like whenever I was reaching out to them, I was constantly getting rejected. I was never hearing back from them. And I was like, I need to figure out like how to make something tangible that I could represent my clients. Like how can I do that outside of the ones that I knew of in New York and different states, whatever. So I went back to the drawing board and I was working with a startup magazine at the time who the woman was really nice, but it took her months to get up one article and it was a digital magazine. And I was like this, I mean, to be totally transparent here, it's like digital magazines are great, but it's still a blog. And I didn't want to I didn't want to be just a blog. I wanted to be more than a blog. So I watched some more YouTube videos and I figured out how to structure a magazine. And I went to Canva. Canva is how I built it from the beginning. And Canva is a great app for graphic designers. If anybody's listening or creating flyers, it's a free, awesome app. So I did that. And then I created the magazine. So I created the magazine 2 years into my business. So Next on Scene magazine is 2.5 years old.
You know what fascinates me? The fact that as much as you embrace all the new platforms, you basically cheerleaded and led, from what I understand, and what's obvious, podcasts, you're cutting edge in so many, you know, futuristic technologies, and yet you sent me via the post, which I adored, the Next On Scene magazine. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, there's something there. And to me, what it was the very fact, Jackie, that you think laterally. And you're not stuck in one particular medium or media.
So true.
And that comes from your background because you're exposed to everything that's out there. And so I think you offer a really broad spectrum of services and products.
Thank you. And I think you know, too, now that you've seen the magazine, it's like it's not the inside does not look like a standard magazine at all. Different color pages, bigger text. It's like it's supposed to just be a unique platform for like people behind the scenes and for people that are doing new ventures to share their journey.
It was what it surprised me was the dynamism of it. And it was almost like screen captures of the best of whatever you've seen on a website of Next On Scene. And it was just that extra luxury of having it tangible in your hand, that's having the interactive feeling and experience of it being almost social media, you know, like online cyber experience. It was quite an interesting thing that you've done there because of the way you chop and cut up that space, like every single millimeter, every inch is accounted for in the best possible way, the way that our experiences when we cruise onto websites.
Very good point. Very good analogy. That is so true.
So tell me something. Who are your main clients coming into your fourth anniversary? We're now January 2019. Who do you interact with? What is the main stable of your clients? What do they make? You know, what do they come to you for mainly?
So interesting. So they come for me for a few different things because I offer so much, right? But I would say my main stream of income right now is definitely social media management and PR work. So, and obviously, I mean, my podcast is forever bringing in clients because it's just been going on for so long. So I consider that forever an outlet, but I keep it separate from my PR business.
That is interesting to me that you really kept that identity separate because they have to live and breathe in their own right.
Exactly. Because they are. I mean, this is like literally, it's a media outlet. It's not a business. It's supposed to be a media outlet, you know?
So from the podcast hat and the magazine, the, you know, PR, the social media, the events, how do you remember which hat you're wearing at what time?
That's a great question.
You're amazing.
Yeah, no, you're so good at this, Henry. I'm so honored to do this with you again. I know I've said that so many times.
I'm loving learning. Now I'm getting, you know, you can read so much, but when you hear it from the source, let me tell you, as I'm sure, you know, all the people that are listening right now would understand, it's a different experience. It's the Jackie Zuckerman experience.
Yeah. So funny. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's so funny. That's a great question. I have no idea. You know, I went to a workshop my friend Jamie hosted a couple weeks ago, and she talks about how people wear masks, right? Because you put on all these different positions for whatever position you're put in. And I almost feel like that's exactly what happens. It's like, okay, I know I have an event tonight, but I'm doing a podcast right now. So my podcast mask is on right now. And in an hour, I will focus on the event. Like I take it literally within like half hour periods of time where I know how to like break in between.
I believe it. I really believe it because I know how we've been so disciplined with, right, we're going to have this phone call at this time and that. And then we had to deal with, of course, the different time zones, which of course I constantly mixed up on you. And I'm like, listen, kid, you live over there. You should get that organized.
We figured it out. It's all that matters.
We seem to be talking to each other at the right time, the right station, in the right place. So obviously we worked it out. Absolutely. But what I want to ask you is this. Ultimately, where do you see yourself going and how, in what period of time and why?
Good question. Radio silent because I'm really thinking about this pretty seriously. I think one of my dream goals is to be a combination of Andy Cohen, because I freaking love Andy Cohen, and I love Oprah Winfrey. I would love to be some combination of the two of them in my own remix way. And just continue to grow my platform.
I think to me, quintessentially, your point of difference is that you champion the individual and make them shine.
Exactly.
So to me, from everything you've said today and all my experience so far, which has been pleasurable and exciting and inspiring, it's that you really are championing the small business person, the individual, which seems to not be able to afford often the kind of services that you offer. How do you make that available to them?
I really cater to each person I meet. And I'm at a point now too where I'm so selective because I am so busy, like of who I work with, you know? Like when I was starting out, I was like, oh my God, I can help you, you know? Like, and now I actually can say like, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. Like it doesn't feel fit, you know?
You know, I think ultimately, Jackie, that your business values, social enterprise, giving back, making sure people move forward, being very laser sharp with who you're helping and how you can help, all comes to me with the crux of what you said a few minutes ago or maybe 15 minutes ago when you were talking about Top Chef and how they promised the world to you or different promises. And we remember those promises and didn't deliver. Obviously, you must be delivering, Jackie.
Thank you, Henry. Yeah, I actually, like, I want to kind of bring up that story to show people that, like, these things really happen. I actually talked about it. I did an interview recently with somebody else, and I was discussing it because these things really happen in this TV world. So, like I said earlier, one of my icons is Andy Cohen, right? And he helps run Bravo, and he was coming in one of the days during the week that I was going to be there on set with Padma, because I was like her assistant stylist at the time. And the only thing I said to my boss, I said, the only thing I want to ask you while I'm working on this job with you is I want to meet Andy Cohen. Can you do an introduction with me? We're in such, because when you're backstage with all of the hosts and everything, it's a very intimate setting where you can actually have like full conversations with people. So I said to him, I was like, that's the only thing I would love. Like, I just want to be introduced to him so I can just say, hi, I'm a big fan. So listen to what happened. So he comes, so Andy Cohen walks down the hallway and he comes to each doorway to say hi to all the staff because he knows them because he's one of the producers of the show. And as soon as he came to the doorway with me and my boss blocked the door so that I couldn't see him. He like – Andy literally like halfway stuck his head in and he basically prevented me from even saying hello to him. And I don't even know. I literally like my heart is like still dropping because I remember that moment so strongly. And I just feel like that was like the only thing I asked for the whole time I was working there. And I was just like so heartbroken over it. Listen to how funny this is. I guess this really depicts my personality for people who don't know who I am that are listening. So all of a sudden, Andy Cohen goes across the hall into this makeup artist's room. And my boss had left my office, my room. And I was like, okay, this is my moment. He's sitting on the couch. This is my moment. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to introduce myself. Okay. So I literally like burst into the room, like super trying to be calm, but I was like so nervous at the same time. I literally, Henry, I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh my God, Andy, I am such a big fan of yours. I'm so honored to meet you. And I just literally went speechless. And he was so calm and nice. He was like, it's so nice to meet you. Like, thanks for coming over to say hi. And like that was my moment.
But I think also bittersweet because your voice caught when you brought yourself back to that moment. And I think that the beauty, although as scarring as it was at the time, was I think people generally everywhere in the world experience that promise, whether it's somebody, I've never heard somebody actively in your face going, here's the promise I promised you, and now I'm going to lock you away from it.
Yeah.
That I've never heard.
Yeah.
But it overall, was in the more milder form, the non-Jackie Zuckerman form, normally people, you know, it's not unusual for people to make promises, whether it's personally or in business or whatever it is, and we're scarred from it. And I think especially in 2019, where there is so much flux and so much, you know, change in the way people behave, etc., it sounds to me like you are really, although highly effervescent in a super hypercharged industry, the ultimate thing is your still waters run deep because you don't forget your obligations that your company promises your clients. Obviously, otherwise you would be miles not busy. And you're so busy because I know myself it was hard to try and just get. I said, like, come on, Jackie, let's talk about your show just before. No, that's okay. Don't worry. We'll be right because you didn't have the time. So it seems to me that as effervescent and bubbly and hyperactive as your industry can be, you are really, when it comes down to it, not that person that the industry would expect of you. You actually are real.
Thank you. I like to think that. I found what was missing and I wanted to fill it.
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And also from the experiences that were good and bad that shaped Next On Scene.
It's so true. It is so true.
I'm going to do your tradition, which is, I think, four or five different, you know, what's your favorite?
So love it. Ready for them? I'm ready. Yes? I'm ready.
Jackie Zuckerman, host of Next On Scene. Here we go. What is your favorite color?
Ooh, favorite color. I used to love pink because I was a girl's girl, but I have a special love for red these days.
Favorite city in the world?
Ooh, I think honestly, Positano. I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It was like something I've never seen before.
Oh, it sounds magical. Your favorite item of clothing?
Favorite item of clothing? My black leggings, because I could wear them with any top and be comfortable at all times.
Your favorite female celebrity?
Ooh, I would say Oprah.
Your favorite male celebrity?
Andy Cohen.
Your favorite husband?
Andrew. We'll give him a shout. Andrew, he's going to love you for giving him a shout out.
Oh, he's the best. You know, male bonding, it has to happen.
I know.
Favorite movie?
favorite movie? Ooh, I think Legally Blonde.
Yeah, I like Legally. I love. And I think my final question is, favorite dream?
Favorite dream?
What's your favorite dream? We all have different types of dreams, but what's the one that keeps reoccurring?
Honestly, like having my own TV show one day.
I can't understand why it wouldn't happen. And it's happening. But you know what I've learned from you and what's so inspiring? If you want to get somewhere, if you want to meet Andy Cohen, even though the door was closed by those that had control over that situation, you still managed to pick yourself up, you know, not be demoralized and do it your way. And that to me is Next on Scene.
Thanks, Henry.
That is, to me, you don't always have to follow the path that is often tread, but you also don't have to be, you know, not nice about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you always seem to keep a level, but at the same time, you always do it in the way that you know how. And I love it.
Thank you.
So I think Jackie Zuckerman, as host of Next on Scene, what was it like to have the mics switched on you today?
Oh my God, I'm inspired by you. You asked great questions. I was very vulnerable. To be honest, I was totally nervous to do this. So thank
I
you.
I could tell.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm very honored that you even thought to do this. Thank you so much.
What made you feel vulnerable, Jackie?
Because I feel like I put on, I mean, I not that I don't feel that I'm very truthful because I am real, but I keep a lot of my own, like, accomplishments to myself.
You do. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But I think to me what's come from this entire interview is that those accomplishments are still low-key. We haven't gone crazy over them. But at the same time, it provides people with an element of confidence in knowing that when they're interacting with you on any level or whatever the level is, you have a 360 surround experience and you keep seeking different things. If you don't know it, you teach yourself. So good on YouTube. I would say that this is a wrap, would you?
I would say it was a great wrap.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've learned so much more about you. And you're right. As public as you are, I think today was a really wonderful day for you because ultimately, although there was vulnerability, what it showed was some very deep values that carry you and you as a wife, as a mother, as a sister, sorry, not a mother, but as a sister, as a daughter.
Right, not a mother yet, Henry. Let's just get that. I'm a dog mom. I'm a dog mom. So we'll say that. But not
a dog mom.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think that all those different roles come into being who you are. And so I understand being exposed in that way, but I think you've done fantastic today. It's been a pleasure. And what a fantastic line we've got.
Thank you. Oh my God, I'm so honored. Like I've said this every single time I've meant it. Like, so honored to share my story with you. And have you interview me. It was such a pleasure. So much fun. I knew it was going to be really fun because we always have fun. But
I was nervous too because it's like, hello, this better go well. This better be a nice interview.
I never doubted it. I was like, you and wonderful, I are very easygoing. It will be great.
Yes. Fantastic. Congratulations on your fourth anniversary and continued audienceship and people interfacing with your services and products and health and success for 2019.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Henry, tell them how they can follow you on social media.
You can follow me on Instagram, which is Henry Roth Brides, and my sister on Instagram, which is Michelle Roth Brides, because we are featured designers at Kleinfeld. Thank you. Have an amazing day, Boston.
Thank you. And Henry also has another company called Career Crowdfingers, which we're going to talk about on another show. But you definitely need to check that out as well. Thank you again so much, Henry. And everybody can follow me. I feel like I never share my social media channels. So you can follow me at Next on Scene and also at Jackie Zuck, Z-U-K. Thank you so much. Thanks again, Henry.
Good morning. Thank you.
And stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for startups to celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us today at nextonscene.com or get social with us at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.